from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Wapner on in 10 minutes. Wapner's on in 10 minutes. Wapner's on in
10 minutes. Wapner.
Definitely. Yeah, Wapner's on in 10 minutes.
Thanks, Rain Man.
No problem. That just means I'm really smart.
You are. Every day, I gotta say this, I'm just blown away by your...
Good looks.
My
moroseness?
No.
Corrupt?
Yes.
Corruptibility?
Yes, your corruptness and your fecklessness.
Fecklessness.
I have not detected a single feck on you.
By the way, the first person to tell us what the word feckless means today, if they call us, will get a free copy of Martin Zender's book, one of Martin Zender's books. I will decide which one. So if you call us at 847-312-4676 and you tell us what feckless means... Now, if no one answers, you leave a message.
Leave a message.
What does the word feckless mean?
Give that number again.
And how does that apply to Dan Sheridan and the Irish?
Give that number again,
847-312-4676. What book should we give away for that?
How to Be Free from the Irish?
You know, speaking of Irish, why don't we give the book Flawed by Design?
That fits perfectly.
Perfect. All right?
Yes.
If you define feckless... You get Flawed by Design.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Flawed by Design. Give that number one more time.
847.
Slow. I have people complaining, say, Sheridan gives those numbers.
Oh,
number two
people always complain
fast.
About me. 847-312.
Yeah.
4676.
You call that number, tell us what feckless means, and you'll get a copy of Martin Zender's book, Flawed by Design.
All right.
Thank you very much. Now, we are actually going to plunge into secret numero uno.
Uno. Found in Matthew 13.
A little Spanish there for you. Found in Matthew 13. And
yes.
You know, concerning any secret, I like what you said on Monday. It has to be God that gives you ears to hear. And he had to give Israel, his disciples specifically, he didn't give it to Israel. He gave his disciples ears to hear the secrets of the kingdom. Otherwise, you are not going to get it.
But what in what? Was it about the disciples? Was it because they were smarter? Did it have to do with learning?
Well, they sure weren't smarter.
If it had to do with learning, would he have told the disciples is the question.
Yeah, good point, because they weren't learned.
If the issue was learned or education, he would have been talking to the Pharisees.
Which is, true enough.
He was giving these secrets not to educated folks. He was giving it to guys who, cut theirself on the barnacles. And cut themselves with hooks and, had calloused hands. And
they probably pissed off the boat.
They did. They probably urinated right off the side. I've seen that done. I've been on a fishing trip where that's done. They just get up and...
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing when you think about it. Doesn't make you want to swim, though. However, these are the kind of people that got these secrets. It was the common folk. It was the guys who had dirt under their fingernails. See, so the issue of these secrets, again... is not education.
That's important to point that out again. And if these were mysteries and people here being initiated into mysteries, it takes great learning. And you picture these old hoary men with white beards and they bring you into their cobweb sanctuary. I think of like Harry Potter type stuff. And you have long classes and learning and you have to go through 10 steps, 12 steps, 13 steps, 14 steps, and you will be initiated into the mystery.
Have you ever seen the movie God's Outlaw about William Tyndale?
No.
There's a fantastic scene there I think would illustrate this.
Yeah, what is it?
The learned... were against William Tyndale because all he wanted to do in his statement was get the word of God into the hands of the plowman. And there's a scene in there where all the learned said, no, you can't give the word to the common folks. That's for us learned. And there's a scene where William Tyndale's sitting there watching this plowman, this common day laborer, with the oxen, and he's got that plow you had to ride on,
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there staring at the guy, and his one goal, he goes, I want that guy. To get the scriptures. And in the movie, there's a scene where he's at the table with two priests, And he said to them, I will make sure, if God spares my life, that a plowman will know more scripture than you do.
I love it.
And the issue was not learning, was not education. It was initiation. All you have to do is give it to him.
That's a beautiful parable.
It is.
And a parallel, because that's exactly what our Lord did when he walked out to the Sea of Galilee that day to pick his followers. Think of this.
Yeah.
He's out there picking the future rulers of the world.
Yep.
He is on the Sea of Galilee on a
Tuesday
afternoon.
I saw some guy on the internet talk about this not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah, on somebody's Crack of Dawn report.
Oh, really?
Was that you?
Yeah, it must have been me.
Oh.
I think it's so astounding that here's these guys, like you say, getting cut by barnacles and peeing off the boat, and he's pointing to them and says, you, follow me. He's picking the future rulers of the world. These guys are going to be the administrators of the kingdom eon. And it's just, who were they? They were sitting there minding their own business on a Tuesday afternoon, throwing their nets in, and their world was turned upside down by this man.
Yeah.
And he chooses them not in accord with wisdom, but I want that guy to know. I want Peter Bar-Jonas. I want Andrew. It's just unbelievable to me that these guys are picked, and that's so comforting.
If you ever want to really see something that makes you shiver, I remember when I first read, every time I read it, it makes me do the same thing. Pardon me, I got a little cold. Is when you get to when God sent Samuel to this man to get the king from among his sons. God says, I want you to go to this guy and I want you to get my king from there. So here comes Samuel and he sees Eliab, the firstborn of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel says, boy, this must be him. Look at the way this guy looks. And you know, Lord says, that ain't him. What about that one? Well, that ain't him either. What about that one? That ain't him either. And he goes through all the sons. And Samuel says, all you got? He goes, well, yeah, we got one. He's out
in
the
field.
Yeah,
you don't want to see him. He's
and all of a sudden it says that David comes in, and then the Lord says, that's the one. I get chills.
I know.
When I hear that, I almost hear music in the background. That's my choice. Nobody picked that guy. That's the guy who's going to rule. That's the one whom I am going to give the sure mercies to. He's the one who's the anointed one. And then from that day, it says the Spirit of God came upon him. And that's what is happening here when the Lord Jesus chooses these 12. And that is what happens when God says, I've chosen these sinners from among the Gentiles to be with my Son in his highest glories. It's just chilling to think about that. He raises us from the dunghill to inherit the throne of glory. That's amazing.
I don't know how many times that people write me and say how alone they are, how alone they feel, how they feel like outcasts. Nobody understands them. Their own family doesn't understand what they're coming into, what they believe. They feel outcast of society. They feel outcast of the church. They're the least of the least, and that is the exact kind of person that God calls to understand these things. And so that ought to comfort folks. It does me.
Comforts me, man.
Because we've talked about that verse many times in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid are the ones God chooses. Yeah, like the Three Stooges. Did we ever tell the folks...
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
Did we ever tell the folks the time that we visited Curly's grave? Did we talk about that on the air?
I don't think we've ever talked about it on this radio show. We have talked about it. Did we ever talk about it?
I don't know, but there's probably new listeners that haven't heard it.
We did have the privilege of standing over Jerome Howard's grave.
We are Stooges fans, Dan and I are, and we were in Los Angeles.
Because of the resemblance, that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do look like Curly.
Yeah,
I'm trying to imagine
that.
You without hair, but we went to Los Angeles 2 years ago. And
by the way, for those of you who are interested, I have a picture of Martin Zender where he looks like Mo.
Oh, that's the first picture ever taken of you and me together.
Yes.
And my hair was like...
He does look like Mo. So write Nask for the Zender Mo look-alike photo, and we'll be... You know what? You're going to post that.
I'm going to post it. Look for
that's going to be on today's show.
It'll be on today's
when
show.
When you go to martinzender.com for today's show...
Oh, geez, I don't know.
You are going to see...
I don't know.
Mo Zender.
I don't know if I want to publish that one. Well, you know what I would rather publish? The one of you and I next to Jerome Howard's grave, Curly. I'd much rather post that one. It's so embarrassing, my hair hanging down.
Is there a picture of us together with Curly?
Yeah.
No, there isn't. There was no one to take a picture with us.
I think I held the camera out, and I think I got a picture of both of us with Curly.
All right, we'll have to see.
All right, we'll have to see. I don't know if I'm going to put that Mo picture in there of me.
I think you should.
I don't know.
It's fantastic.
All right, I'll think about it. I guess the people deserve it. The people need to know.
Spread out. All right, where were we going with this?
We're talking about the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, and how great it is that our Lord picks out these 12 so-called losers, not to mention Matthew at the tax collector's office, who's the true off-scouring of society. He's collecting taxes for the Roman government. The entire people hate him, and he walks up to his office and says, "You, follow me." And I'm telling you, it's so parallel of what God's doing today. He never changes. It starts back there with David, the least likely. One, I got one more, but you don't want to see him. He's a shrimp. He's the smallest. He's the weakest. And who did they want for a king? Saul. Back even before that.
Because he was taller than everyone.
He was taller than everyone else, and he was handsome, and that's why Israel wanted Saul for a king. And what happened? You know, it's so hard not to judge by the outside. And I was thinking of this, how the world today, society, looks at the beauty. We're so captivated by things that look good and look right. And you see the entertainment industry, and it's all about how things look. But it takes the Spirit of God to make you see past that and make you see, even the Messiah, that this man is the chosen of God. I mean, our Lord, you could look at that example too. The Messiah is born in a stable. That's the most unlikely thing you could ever come up with. It's beyond fiction. It's just so unlikely.
You know, there's the verse in Matthew 13:11 says, "And the Lord Jesus answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, given to these disciples." This is, we are still talking about the divine secrets.
Yes.
And if you're listening to this program, we are here to give to you these secrets, because God delights to unveil these things not to the wise and prudent, but to the babes, because it is the Father's good pleasure. He wants to bring us, to you and to I, into his secret counsels. He's actually considering us his friends when he does this.
Right.
He's bringing us into his inner counsel. He said, "Let me show you my ways." And for members of the body of Christ, this is so important. Not only should we be interested in what God has to say to us through Paul regarding our hope and our calling, we should be interested in all that God does. Because friends don't just delight in what benefits them. They delight in everything that concerns their friend. And we want to delight in all of God's ways from cover to cover in the book that he's given us in the Holy Scriptures. And so that's why we're studying these secrets. And I think in time, as we go through these, this will give you a great overview into the counsels of God concerning heaven and earth. So stay tuned with us as we study these things.
And please, folks, don't stumble at the word chosen. It seems like a politically incorrect word, that God would be choosing you to know more, to come into his confidence, to be initiated into his secrets. But that's the way God operates. It doesn't mean that you're the only one that's ever going to get it. It means that he wants to give it to you first.
You remember the line that A. Enoch said? Love delights in love responsive.
Beautiful. We're going to pick up with that wonderful thought tomorrow. I'm Martin Zender. If you're listening to this show driving in your car and you want to review it, you can go to martinzender.com. All these shows are archived there. And we will see you here tomorrow. God bless each and every one of you.